Good morning. We're going to be in James chapter 5. You know, when Mike preached last week or the week before, he said when the Sunday school gets dismissed, it's like half the church leaves. He's not kidding. You really notice it. We're in James chapter 5. And I had the chapters, I had verses 13 through 20. And it has to do with faith, praise for the afflicted. And it's just how prayer helps us in our everyday life. And my Bible's not feeling like loading. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we can have, that we can look into your word, and that we'll hopefully all learn something as I learned something looking through this, and that we'll just be able to apply it to our lives and use it in our everyday. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to read through the verses first. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So, is anyone among you suffering? Verse 13, let him pray. Now, something we need for prayer is faith, and that's why I pray for the afflicted. And, you know, how many of us have done little quick prayers on an everyday situation? So I know me, I'm a little heavy-footed in the car, and so I'll pass a cop, and instantly you start praying, please don't let him pull out. So you have those quick little prayers, but, you know, do we only pray, like, when we need something? You know, do we pray other times? I remember this other time I was, as you guys know, I'm a general contractor, and so I get paid sporadically. I don't have a weekly paycheck, and so like it comes, and so I have to pay other contractors, and so this, I had to pay a guy on Friday. It was Thursday night, and my customer gave me a check, and I was, praise the Lord, I got the check, but it was like 5 o'clock. The bank closed at 6. And I was in Bloomfield, had to make it all the way to Bristol. So the lady keeps talking to me, and I want to be rude. And so finally I leave. It's like it's 5:30. Got to make it all the way to Bristol in 6. At the time, I had my pickup truck. I had a sander completely filled with salt, so I had probably 2,000 pounds of salt in the back of my truck. I had a plow in the front, and here I am trying to beat the clock. I'm going to make it to Bristol. So I'm praying. I'm like, just please, Lord, let this guy get a flat tire and get out of my way. Like, please let me hit this light. And so I'm praying the whole way. It's all little prayers that probably didn't make much sense, that as I'm doing, you know, I'm going over the speed limit. And there I am praying that the Lord may bless me, that I get there on time. And so I screech my tires into the plaza, and I get into where the bank is, and I jump out of the truck. I think it was still rocking and everything when I jump out of the truck. And I'm running to the door. I get to the door, and the door is about where that door is. And I see the bank guy locking the door and just going like this, just saying no. I'm a big guy. It was a glass door. Chances are I could have let myself in. I didn't. I just got very angry. And I was like, why did this happen? I need that money tomorrow. Why? Like, and then, you know, I sat there. I called my wife. She calmed me down a little bit. And she's like, just put it in the ATM. Like, it does the same thing. It's an automatic bank teller. It's a computer bank teller. It does the same thing. And I was like, I guess, but I need it tomorrow. Like, is it going to work? And so sure enough, I put it in the bank. It was available the next day. So if I didn't go through that whole ordeal and that, you know, I really wanted to go through that door. And the Lord had that happen to me for a specific reason. So now I learned that, you know, the ATM is the same as going to a teller, and it clears the same amount of time and all this other stuff. But now that's going to help me in the future, not just on that present time, but it's also the future. So now I just, because the Lord put me through that whole situation, and praise the Lord, I didn't get a ticket on the way there, because the check didn't clear anyway at that point. So it's, you know, so He does these things to us for a reason, you know, and the Lord has His perfect plan and why He does these things. And we may not be able to see it necessarily at the time, but it's there for a reason. And it does work, especially if you believe. One thing I was always taught growing up is if you don't really believe it's going to happen, it won't happen. And so, like, we, you know, we try to train up the kids and tell them, like, if you want to be that, you got to go and get it. But if you don't truly believe that can happen, there's no chance. I'm still not an NBA basketball player, but, you know, I tried. But so you pray. Let them pray if they're suffering. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. You know, and it's pretty easy to sing when you're cheerful. You know, but it's really hard to sing when you're struggling. When that guy locked the door on me at the bank, and I wasn't singing praises. I kind of went the opposite way with that. And but that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to sing praises. Ephesians 5:19, you all know it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, I'm going to challenge you in these days when that person cuts you off, and pretty much most of you have a license in here, so when that person cuts you off this week, I want you to sing a praise. I want you to try that. Or pray for that individual. That I always, see, when I pray for the individual in front of me, I pray for them to get a driving license or a new class or something to get their driving skills better. But it's probably not the right prayer. You know, pray. You got to mean it. You have to have the faith that goes with it, that it's going to happen. Pray for the person. Hey, maybe I could be a witness to this person when they're, you know, they knew they did something wrong to me, and I could still be nice to them and not tail them. You know, that's could be a good witness for someone like that. And you also never know what's going on in that person's life either. They could be rushing to the hospital for someone. So, faith, we didn't really cover faith. Hebrews 11:1, it's the substance of things not seen. So, you know, do we really have the faith that the Lord's going to do this particular item, or when we pray? It's, do we truly believe it? You know, is anyone, so when we're suffering and we're in cheerful, completely opposite ends. So when we're suffering, we pray and we sing songs. When we're cheerful, we pray and we're supposed to sing songs. The next part of it is, any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, sometimes, like, we'll walk around and we'll talk to each other and we'll say, how are you doing? And then we'll keep moving. There's some people that you actually want to know how they're doing, and there's other people that you don't. When you say, how are you doing, and you're talking to someone, if you're going to say it, really mean that. So, you know, if you know you have to talk to somebody else, and if I've got to talk to my brother and 30 seconds about something that's going on with Sunday school, I'm not going to go to my dad and say, how you doing? That's great. And out of there. You have to really want to know what's going on. So if we're going to pray for someone else and we're going to truly believe it, you know, it's really good to get to know the person and what's going on in their life. And it says, confess your trespasses one to another. So that doesn't mean, you know, you stand up in church and, you know, we say a lot of prayer requests and things like that, but what's really deep inside, a lot of times we wouldn't want to announce in front of everybody. So we got to go one-on-one with people. So I know in the past, you know, I've never really done the one-on-one thing, and then brother Dan and I, we did the one-on-one thing. And I tell you what, before that, we talked to each other and we had like semi of a relationship. Since then, I would say we're pretty good friends. He's still like my leader, and you know, in the church, I look up to him. But now I feel comfortable going to Dan with just about anything. And so, like, but it took that meeting together, and it, you know, it wasn't even long meetings. It wasn't anything like that. We just sat there and talked. We had coffee and we sat in Dunkin' Donuts and we talked. And like before I did the meeting, I was like, I never really wanted to do it because I thought I'd be bored. And I was just being honest. Like, you know, sometimes it's tough for me to sit for a full hour. I struggle. That's why I don't really watch a lot of movies, and unless I'm really tired, like I can't sit still for more than an hour. So like I thought, he was like, let's meet for like an hour, and I was like, oh, an hour? Let's start at 15 minutes and go from there. But the hour would fly by all of a sudden. You know, we would meet at sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I'm just waking up and it's 8:15 all of a sudden, and we're both like, well, we both got to go to work. And you know, and that was such a blessing to me, not only to like learn how it happened, but now like I have like a true friend and a godly man. So like, but that never would have happened if he didn't come to me and, hey, you want to meet. But it was easy. Like, it seems like it's a hard thing to like arrange your schedule for that hour, but it just seems so easy. And that we need more of that, of random people going to other random people. Because, you know, we did a how to teach the Bible study, how to teach. And it really turned into really how do you study the Bible. And we all had the same verse, and there were six of us in the class, and they each gave us the same verse. And we're like, you know, we're looking at the teacher going, you know, you just all taught us the exact same way how to study. Now you're giving us the exact same verse, and now we're going to present it. And I was like, here goes another 15 minutes each person. So I'm like, there's another hour that I got to listen to the same thing over and over. And sure enough, what happened? All six people came with something completely different from the same verse after learning how to study the same way. And that just doesn't happen. Like, so if you're always talking to the same people, you're probably always going to get the same results. You got to go to talk to someone new and really get to know them. And believe it or not, you'll probably learn new things even if you didn't think you could learn from that person. So, you know, do we hide stuff? You know, a lot of people will hide their suffering. We talked about someone being depressed this morning. You know, that's something that they'll just back right out of places like this, and they'll just hide and suffer on their own. And they may put on a good front, but they're suffering. You know, we got to go and help those people. And the only way we would know that someone's suffering deep inside is if actually we are truly concerned and go to them. You know, do we all have stuff going on, you know, but are we going to take the time and actually learn about it and go to the people and care and show them that love? So when we pray for these people and other things in our life, you know, we have a direct line with him. So the Lord's not going to open up a direct line with us and then not let these things happen. If we truly believe it, we have that direct line, and we talk directly to him, he will give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:4. He will take care of the true desires, the true wants, if it's all according to his will. So, that being said, we have to really, well, we're talking about interviewing for VBS. Well, I don't want to say interview somebody else, but you know, you really got to get it into the life of somebody else. And a lot of times, just find out what they like or talk to them. And if it's hard to start a conversation, people ask me this, how do you start conversations with random people? The easiest way is to start a conversation in the middle of the conversation. It's really weird, but that Knicks game was crazy, right? And then, well, I didn't watch the Knicks. Well, what did you watch? And then, boom, you just start going into a conversation. You ask about them if you want to start a conversation. That's pretty much how you start a conversation. When we're talking to them, I know I personally have been nervous to do things like that. Believe it or not, like, witnessing makes me crazy nervous. And I know for people with the evangelism gift, that it comes very easy and they can't wait to tell it. So a lot of times it makes me nervous that I'm not going to say the right things. I don't know if anyone else feels like that, but I definitely feel like that. And so sometimes you'll avoid talking about God because you're afraid that you might not have the right answers. If you have the faith going in and you are in the Word and things like that, you will have the right answers. And if you don't know the answer, a lot of people are pretty much okay with that answer. You know what? I don't know the answer, but I'll find out and get back to you. You just opened up a second conversation. So, you know, if you don't know, I don't know, and I'll get back to you. You just open yourself for that second door. So, trust in the Lord that you will have the right answers. Go and talk to people. Don't be nervous. Have that faith that he has given you. So he says in Matthew that as all you need is faith of a mustard seed. Or I'm sorry, it was Luke 17:6. You need faith of a mustard seed. That's tiny, tiny. You don't need much. So when you're talking to somebody else and you're praying for each other, you know, pray before and pray at the end. It helps the conversation that the Lord will be there. So a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean to have a fervent prayer of a righteous man? And it talks about Elijah coming up. I know there was some churches do the whole 24-hour things and they pray overnight and things like that. And it's good to pray continually, not just when you need it. You know, when you pass that cop and going 70 and a 50, you know, you can pray then, but it's good to pray before you reach that area. And, you know, when you're out golfing, don't just pray. That's, you know, it's a good shot. You got to keep accountability. So the other thing with meeting with the other person, it helps you stay accountable. Did you study? Did you read the word? Did you pray this morning? You know, it helps you stay accountable. So you pray, if you pray every morning, it's like putting on the armor of God. So Elijah, and we'll read it 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Now, in 1 Kings 17:1, it talks about when he first prayed that it wouldn't rain. Now, would anybody here attempt to pray that it wouldn't rain? During VBS week, that's a lot of times is my prayer. Please don't let it rain. Let it rain at least one day so we can play broomball in here, because the kids seem to love that. But, you know, that's a crazy prayer. But I'm asking for, you know, a week between 5 and 8 o'clock at night, and Elijah prayed for, you know, he got 3 years and 6 months. And he says that he's a man with a nature just like ours. And when I was trying to figure out, like, what a nature just like ours is, you know, he was a human. He probably did bad things. I mean, he didn't have a car, so he couldn't speed like us. But, like, he was a human. He probably had bad thoughts and things like that. And he probably struggled with prayer and doing things like that, too. So, I mean, it didn't seem like it, you know, when we read through his story. But he was a man just like us. And he was able to pray. And through the grace of God, something like this happened. We'll read 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46. And it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, 'Go up now and look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked, and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times again he said, 'Go.'" So a couple of things with that one little part. Seven times he said, "Go." So he sent his, like, right-hand man to go see if there was clouds and things like that coming. And the gentleman that he was one-on-one with, discipling and training up, trusted him enough that after the third time, if somebody asked me to go and, like, check something and it wasn't there, I'd be like, "Hey, you know, I checked, this is my third time." And then he'd get back and he's, "Go check again." It's like, "Yeah, that's number four." And now I'm just feel like I'm doing busy work here. Like, let's go. And then, but he goes seven times. So obviously there was a relationship here that it was more than just a, "Hey, how are you doing?" There was a continuing relationship, and it was a one-on-one relationship for that this guy goes and checks seven times. So on the seventh time, there is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops." So once again, now he's telling this guy that just checked seven times that there's this little tiny cloud, and all of a sudden all this rain's going to come from it, and go and tell Ahab. So now he's doing something else. So we got to build that true relationship where someone like that will be able to do something and trust us and have the faith in God that it's going to happen. "So prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." So it ended up coming to pass. He prayed. He had the faith that it would happen. He was doing the right things. He had his one-on-one guy with him. And the Lord let it happen. And it rained. So sometimes, you know, when when we have the like the one-on-one and things like that, and a brethren, in verse 19, brethren, if any of you among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. So if someone wanders from the truth, we've all wandered at some point, and we've all done things at some point, and we all know somebody that's wandered or is wandering or whatever. So, brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So, we've all wondered, you know, confess your trespasses to one another. Do we really know each other? Do we really want to know how someone's doing, or do we just want to gossip? You know, like, sometimes all it takes is a text, a card, a call, you know, go over and visit. But if someone's wandering, typically they're going to shy away from everything. They're going to be like depressed and things like that. So we have to reach out. So it's not just a, well, when they come here, I'll talk to them. Well, what if they didn't come this week and they didn't come next week? You know, and then all of a sudden time starts passing by, and all of a sudden it's 3 months have gone by where we haven't seen this person that we wanted to talk to, and we've been praying for him, but we still haven't seen him. You know, we got to reach out and be proactive and go listen and go for it. So we pray, confess our trespasses to one another, meet with one another, get to know each other so that we can be comfortable with each other enough that we could come to somebody with a problem. Matthew 18, you know, we could just, but it's if you have a problem with someone, you go to them. Matthew 18. I was reading it this morning. But if Matthew 18 talks about the whole, if you have a problem, you go talk to them. A lot of times, if you have a good relationship with somebody else and you're friends and you talk to them about a situation, you know, if I walked up to my brother and I said, Brian, that is an ugly shirt. So ugly that Justin actually wore the same one. sorry, I just noticed it. But I can't do that with everyone, you know. I couldn't walk up to Jerry and say that because it just wouldn't be polite. But no, I'm allowed to, like, so I've had a relationship with you guys, so I can joke around like that. But like, if I didn't have a relationship with you guys, that wouldn't happen. So I'm encouraging you guys to get to know somebody different than you're used to talk to. So in fellowship time, if you are always talking to the same person, tell that person that you don't want to talk to them today and go talk to somebody else. So after Sunday, or, you know, after today, if you're talking to the same people, you know, go talk to somebody else that you're not used to talking. So that was, you know, my verses. And then I just wanted to go like an overview of the whole book. There was a lot covered in the whole book. You know, several people had, I listened to most of the messages again this week, and, you know, there was a lot of great messages in there. And so I'm just going to go over, the overview. So the first couple of verses, the first chapter was trials and temptation, testing of faith. You know, what's the source of your temptation? And, you know, we all get tested on a daily basis, you know. And it could be little tests, it could be big tests. You know, where is it all coming from? You know, can you avoid that situation where you're getting tempted instead of, you know, and if you know you're going to get tempted going into a restaurant and sitting at a bar, don't go sit at the bar. Go sit in the tables in the other room. You know, keep yourself accountable as well as other people keeping you accountable. You know, chapter 1, 19 through 27, we've talked about listening and doing. You know, we have to listen, to know what we're going to do and then go ahead and actually do it. You know, people deem me as crazy a lot of times because I like to just do things immediately without listening. But, like, actually go and do things. Listen and do. Verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? You know, it's important. And God says it over and over. Listening. Listen, obey. And we can't obey if we don't listen. And the Lord is going to show us in all different ways. You know, not just from a preacher or anything like that, but we're going to learn from reading the Bible. We're going to learn from other brothers and sisters that, you know, could teach us other things. And so one of our brothers in the last message was saying about, you know, you may be talking to a person about God in a cubicle, and you're telling this guy all sorts of stuff, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing really good telling this guy. But the person in the cubicle isn't even listening to you. They don't really care about that. You know, you're talking about David and Goliath from, they don't care. But the person in the cubicle next to him are listening. You know, the Lord does things like that on purpose, you know. So listen and do. Chapter 2, 1 through 13. Favoritism is forbidden. So, you know, I know my mom has a favorite son, but you're not supposed to have a favorite son. they're guidelines, and we got to try to follow. And, you know, faith and works, 2:14 through 26, faith and works. You know, do we have the faith? And then are we doing things? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That was chapter 2, verse 18. You know, it's when we take all these things and try to apply it. Taming the tongue. That's a tough one for me. Taming the tongue. You know, it's when we talked about a huge ship, and it all takes is that little rudder, even in the high winds and things like that. It's the big ship, little rudder, and that's all it takes. That little thing. Our tongue is one of the smallest, you know, members of our body, yet we could hurt so many people so quickly. Or we can help somebody very quickly. You know, it's all in how we use it. The study on wisdom, the 13 through 18. You know, we have to be wise in our decisions. You know, are we putting ourselves in a situation where we are going to get tempted easy? Are we being just wise in our just everyday decisions? You know, if you're going to do something, you know, it's really good after you listen, you know, to pray about that decision. Should you do that? Use your wisdom. If you don't know the answer, try to get in contact with somebody that does. And there's your one-on-one. You know, if a lot of times, like if I have a parenting question, I will call my father because he's been there. He's seen it. He has wisdom. You know, and leaders in church, I'll even ask Dan because I have that relationship with Dan now where I could ask him. You know, chapter 4 and 5 is quarrels, spiritual unfaithfulness, pride, slander. You know, are we keeping ourselves in check? Spiritual unfaithfulness. You know, a lot of times, like, when nobody's looking, you know, are we, if someone didn't know you're a Christian, would they know? If you're out there, you know, if you go to the store and nobody, you're not wearing a shirt that says like Jesus on it or something like that, would somebody else know that you would be a part of God's family if they saw you out there? Or when that guy does cut you off, or, you know, will they know that you're a Christian by how you act and how you wave? For 13, 5 through 6. Faith produces dependence on God. And faith endures awaiting Christ's return. You know, faith is a tough thing. And so, like, even, like, the guys I work with and stuff, are, why do you believe in God? And I'm, well, it's a faith. Like, we have faith. It's a way of life. It's a, you know, and, but you have to have faith to believe it. And he said, well, I don't believe it. Don't you believe in science? Yes, I believe in science. Well, how do you believe in God if you believe in science? Well, I'm like, I believe in science, but you need faith to believe in God, right? I'm like, do you believe in wind? And he was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, can't see it, right? But it does something. And I was like, or not me, but, you know, it's, you need faith. And to depend on God, you need the faith. You need to believe through it. And over, God has been faithful to us. And if you do a prayer journal, you will see that God is truly faithful and does give us the things of our want, that we want and desire, as well as the things that we need. And the last is pray for, faith prays for the afflicted, and faith confronts the erring brother. And, you know, we have to take our time, get to know each other, and, you know, if we're nervous about it, pray about it. And let the Lord calm us down a little bit, slow your heart rate down, and go talk about it. Because I can tell you, anybody in this room, if you went up to them and told them you had a problem, not one person is going to get mad at you about it. And they're most likely, I would, not that I could bet, but if I was a betting man, I would bet every one of these people, anyone that you went to with a problem, would pray for you. You know? So talk to each other. Talk to somebody different. Have the faith and trust the person that you're talking to, and do the one-on-one. And if you are the one trusted in that one-on-one, that's not for you to gossip. That's for you to help that brother and to pray for them. But, so, my challenge to you this week, when that person cuts you off or you get angry at somebody, sing a praise. Try to sing that praise and pray for them. And then have the faith. If you're going to pray for something, have faith that you're going to, that it's actually can happen. So if you pray for it to not rain for 3 years and 6 months, have the, and that's what you really want. I mean, have the faith that's going to happen and get out of New England. And so let's be like Elijah, and, you know, where he was a faithful man. He got pulled up in the whirlwind, and then we know Elisha came after him. He was a faithful brother, took someone one-on-one, discipled, and then Elisha was a great person for God. We learned tons of stuff from Elisha. And Elijah probably never thought Elisha would be that great of a leader and things going when he first met Elisha. He might have, because he talked to him, they threw the cloak and all that stuff, but, you know, you just never know. So give God the chance by faith, and then go. And then go. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we can have for just to learn about faith and prayer and, you know, the one-on-one discipleships and the new friendships that just come out of that. Pretty much anything good comes out of that. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the people here and just the friendships and the willing to learn. And we just thank you for the beautiful day outside and the opportunity to be up here. And you speak through me, and that we'll just have a great day today. And we just thank you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.